You are probably wondering, what in the fuck is Brian doing talking to me on a Monday morning? Well, surprise, surprise, you now get three The Commercial Break podcast episodes each week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. As Chrissy and I dedicate more time to the show and the listenership grows, we wanted to put more content out to the world. We felt an extra episode was the best way to do that. So argue amongst yourselves. If you hate us, this is terrible news. And if you love us, this just means we're occupying more space in your head. Either way, congratulations to all of you and best to you. Now, like any fantastic gift that you get, there's always a downside. And the downside is the bit, the little thing that we produce that we put at the front of every show. It takes a lot of time, energy, and effort to put those together. And so Chrissy and I have decided to do one of those a week in lieu of an extra hour of Chrissy and I in the studio. So there you go. Stop your bitching. You'll get what you get and you'll like it. And here's the very first Monday episode of The Commercial Break. Enjoy.
This episode of The Commercial Break.
We like to get together and blow cocaine
out. Who does a show about that?
Assholes.
Who does a show about that anyways, Dr. Phil?
Dr. Phil, please. Dr. Phil, listen.
Don't get us on that.
Don't get us on that. We shouldn't talk about Dr. Phil. He's on our network, so just leave it alone. Okay. But Dr. Phil is hardly the bellwether of cool.
Exactly right.
I'm sure that there are many 50-year-old soccer moms who are into him. And fine, cool. Whatever you're into. Maury Povich is still on too. Mm-hmm. But Nikki Sixx, Dr. Phil had him in his cell phone. He had Nikki Sixx in his cell phone. Tell me it was fucking boring now. You have Dr. Phil on speed dial, dude. India RE got a hold of a video. That video, someone put a compilation together of about, I don't know, 50 times Joe Rogan used the N-word, and he used it, and a number of other things. I'm not going to get into it. It's not here for the show. But
that's not right.
I have known since I was 5 years old.
Yeah, don't say it.
Don't say that fucking word.
No.
Don't ever say that word.
No.
It's not mine to use. It never was pleasant.
Zero. None. Well, you know, I played two or three cuts off the Pink Floyd CD in the past 3 months. You know how I did it? I sneaked the CD in here, and I played it without authority. And without permission. Why? Because I knew you wanted to hear it. The CD has sold 4 million copies. We play nothing off it. That's a good business.
Okay, so
he sneaked.
Yeah, he sneaked. He also sneaked a new word in the English language.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
The Commercial Break.
Yo.
The music makes you feel good, doesn't it?
It does.
It's like the music just soothes the soul, which you can't see, which you won't ever see, even if you go to youtube.com/thecommercialbreak and subscribe, is that Chrissy and I are dancing always at the beginning of the show, because I think we just like shaking out all of the stress and all of the day,
exactly.
So that when we turn on the microphone, I can say best to you, Chrissy.
Best to you, Brian.
Best to you out there in the podcast universe, and mean it.
Exactly.
Without wanting to tell you to go
fuck
yourself.
We play our instruments, our air instruments.
That's right. We play our air instruments. I review the show notes and we twiddle along. What a great song.
I
should give this guy credit for the music. I mean, I always, it's The Flamingos. Is the name of the, I think it might just
band?
Be the band that plays this song.
Okay.
But I actually think it's just one guy who's making the song.
Nice.
But he calls himself The Flamingos.
He's talented.
Yeah. It's called Dresden Something. The Flamingos Dresden Something is the name of the song.
I love it. It never gets old. We've been doing it now for a while. A long time.
150 shows.
Yeah.
Yeah. Congratulations to you, my friend. And, I don't feel like it's getting old.
No.
I like it. I want to keep it.
Same with the ending song.
I think it would be a big deal if we changed the song at this point.
I think
it would be a big deal.
Let's keep it.
Yeah. Changing the ending song, we can go with that. But I'm still into the song at the end. The outro, as we call it. So, so I wanted to share something with you. Let's take a look here on the old TCB screen. That's Eddie Vedder and Nikki Sixx.
Oh, are they in a feud?
You know, there's no secret, if you know me, that I'm a big Pearl Jam fan. Have been for a long time. I'm a kid of the 90s. And Pearl Jam, Nirvana, Alice in Chains, Soundgarden, you name it.
I love all those,
It was all... I was reading... So here in Atlanta, there was one of the first stations to ever play grunge music on rotation was a station here in Atlanta called 99X. With the station, what do they call the programmer? The station programmer being a lady named Leslie Fram, who is like in radio is like will go down in history as one of the best radio programmers ever.
Nice,
right? Leslie Fram,
girl boss
indeed. And when they were playing like pop music on a station called Power 99,
Power 99.
They hired Leslie and some other people, and they said these guys got together, this group of people, four or five of them, got together and said, there's this new music. Why are we playing this crappy kind of outdated, you know, pop music, Madonna and all this, you know, Motley Crue and Poison and all this shit.
There's something new.
When Guns N' Roses, Mudhoney, you know, the Pixies, there's these bands out there that are playing this new and exciting music, but no one's playing them. Or maybe one other station in the country was playing this kind of music, but not on full rotation.
It had to be on in Seattle.
Of course. No, it was actually in L.A., I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I'm sure that there was an L.A. station that was keeping a, you know, college station or something, like a low-watt station. So 99X flipped format, and they started playing basically listener requests for alternative, what was not known then as alternative music, but for music that wasn't pop necessarily, right?
Yeah.
Their favorite bands that they were hearing out on the streets, you know, picking up CDs and these new bands that they were going to see. And what it became was this alternative format where they would play Soundgarden and Nirvana and Pearl Jam and, you know, all of them. So
Black Hole Sun.
All of it. Like, you know, Bad Motor Finger, the first Soundgarden album. I just wore that
Temple
shit
of the
out.
Dog.
Temple of the Dog, Eddie Vedder. You know, first Mother Love Bone, which was the what Pearl Jam was before Eddie joined with Andrew Wood. I think it was his name, died of a heroin overdose. Anyway, you get it. If you've, you know, I know that some of our listeners are much younger than we are, but you have to be kind of, you know, dense not to know a little bit about the 90s and the grunge era. It lasted very shortly. It was like 1992 to 1996. It was a 4-year period when these guys took over the world.
Yes.
And Eddie Vedder
was at the forefront.
Was at the forefront. He kind of became the poster child because he was good looking. The music was accessible. Nirvana was a little bit more dirtier and grungier. So even though Kurt Cobain was certainly the voice of a generation, also Pearl Jam sold millions and millions and millions of records.
Oh yeah,
they were. And Eddie Vedder was anything but boring. But Eddie Vedder, in a recent interview, said that it was time to change because all these, you know, bands were dressing up like women, you know, prancing their hair around and putting a bunch of makeup on. Not that there's anything wrong with that. It was the style of the time.
Yeah, it was.
But it was getting old, right? He says, listen, you know, what was
let
what
me
was
just wear my flannel shirt and be comfortable.
That's right. He said that Motley Crue was vacuous and despised. I'd end up being at shows that I wouldn't have chosen to go to. Bands that monopolized the late 80s MTV, the metal bands, and I'm trying to be nice here, that I despise. Girls, 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 and Motley Crue. Fuck you. I hated it. I hated how they made those fellas look. He's trying to be nice. I hated how it made women look. It was so vacuous. I hated it.
Very misogynistic, for sure.
Oh, for sure. God. Look at any Motley Crue video from the 80s, and it's just tits and ass all over the place. And
Nikki Sixx's body biography was just disgusting of some of the tales with the women. So
The 80s hair bands were, you know, Motley Crue, Poison, all of them. I can go through the list, but all of them were just super machismo. They dressed up like women, but they apparently hated women at the same time because they just
they thought less of them.
Yeah, they objectified them any opportunity they got. That's really what MTV was all about for a few years there. And listen, you know, that was what was selling.
Yep.
So they were getting rewarded for it. So it just kept on going. And, you know, to be fair to whoever these Yahoos were back then. But then Guns N' Roses came out.
Yeah.
Guns N' Roses changed the scene.
They
now,
did.
I'm not saying that Guns N' Roses wasn't also, you know, not objectifying women, because of course they were, but their music was different.
Yeah, it was.
It was hard. It was edgy. It was real.
Loved
it was raw.
Guns N' Roses.
Yeah, that first album, Appetite for Destruction, was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
This is fucking good. And I also hated hair metal at the time. I didn't, I wasn't a huge fan of Poison. I listened to it because that's what was there.
Right.
And I was also a young guy, you know, 11, 12, 13, and impressionable. When Guns N' Roses' Appetite for Destruction came out, I begged my parents to get that tape. I got that tape. And I wore it out within a year. It started warping because I just listened to it over and over again.
It's so good.
Yeah. And it was so like, And I knew, like Mr. Brownstone, I knew they were talking about heroin. Yeah. Even at 12 years old,
yeah.
I knew they were talking about heroin. And I loved the fact, in my head, I was like, this is so fucking, I'm so fucking
right,
cool.
Real. Listening.
Yeah. We're mentioned with Mr. Brownstone. So
he
anyway,
won't leave me alone.
He won't leave me alone. No. He won't leave me alone. Suck it in the middle, Anna. Suck it in the middle, Anna. Get me out of my mind. I used to know better than I never knew better. You leave it all behind. What a great album. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. That's for you, Rachel.
Yes.
Straight in your face. Little Axl Rose. So Eddie says, I hated it. Just he's basically saying the sentiment of everybody at the time, right? And then Nikki Sixx replies, made me laugh today reading how much the singer of Pearl Jam hated Motley Crue.
The singer of Pearl
the
Jam. Like, he doesn't
Pearl
know
Jam.
His
like, you don't know
name.
Who he is. He basically took your fucking job.
Yeah.
There's a reason why you guys stopped touring in 1992. It's because no one wanted to hear you. They wanted to hear Eddie,
yes.
right? And that's what happens. New music comes in. Old music
exactly.
fades out.
No, it's a fresh batch that comes in.
And listen, you're back touring with Motley Crue. So, you know, you guys look like a bunch of skeletons up there. But hey, what's... Especially that bassist. What's his name? He was like a fucking... I think he might have actually passed away. Am I talking about a dead person?
Oh, no.
I'm talking about a dead person. He looked like a dead person, even when he wasn't dead. So he says, now considering... I hated how the Pearl Jam singer said, considering they're one of the most boring bands in history, I guess it's kind of a compliment that he hates us. So hashtag stadium tour, hashtag rock and roll. Now... You douche. Listen.
Yeah.
Cool story about you mainlining vodka.
Right.
What a shining example to the rest of the world.
His book, The Heroin Diaries, is awful.
It's awful.
I read it because I was curious. I like rock autobiographies. But I was not. I felt gross by the time I had been done reading it.
Yeah. Listen. Yeah. I hardly think Eddie Vedder in 1992.
And he was saying on By Threads, he would go into his closet and just like go mad.
Yeah.
And I mean, he was doing so much heroin and just drugs, coke, whatever.
Because that was the embellished lifestyle that they lived. And then Eddie Vedder, Kurt Cobain, and so many others. I'm talking about the ones that that our audience, everybody would know, right?
Yeah.
But there are so many others that were kind of the anti Motley Crue / Poison / Stick, whatever. And the reason why they were is because they said, it's enough, it's bullshit, it's unreal, it's not true. Now, that's not to say that Eddie Vedder didn't put some, you know, effects on his vocals, too. He did, but then years later released it without the vocals. Eddie Vedder is far from a boring lead singer.
Far from it. I agree.
Oh, my God, this drives me
and
crazy.
And he's still relevant.
Very relevant.
I mean, they're hanging on.
Very relevant to me.
They're hanging on, you know, to the past.
Yeah.
He's doing, like, Eddie's doing new stuff.
They're all doing new stuff.
Yeah.
He's on his own tour. And listen, mm-hmm. Eddie, they too will have their moment mm-hmm. when it just looks like they're propping them up there to make a couple bucks. It happens to everybody. But, listen, the Rolling Stones are still touring.
Absolutely.
They're still considered super cool. And I mean,
they're amazing.
And they're still making new,
they're still
new
making
records
new stuff.
Too.
Uh-huh.
I haven't heard a new Motley Crue record.
Yeah.
Or maybe they put one out, but I haven't heard about it. Right. I hardly think this is even an argument. Eddie Vedder is not one of the most boring lead singers that ever was. And Nikki Sixx was kind of washed up at that time. Now, mm-hmm. I know that there's lots of people that probably like Motley Crue and go and watch them and will argue with me to the nth degree about Motley Crue and their relevance in rock and roll history. Here's what I got to say. Pearl Jam, the combined members of Pearl Jam are worth $500 million.
Oh, wow.
$500 million, with Eddie being like 150 and the rest of the band being 70 or 80 apiece.
That's amazing.
Nikki Sixx and the members of Motley Crue are worth a little less than $200 million.
Yeah.
Now, you say, how many albums have the two sold? Well, they don't sell albums anymore. That's not how it works, right? You sell songs.
Mm-hmm.
But Pearl Jam has sold 150 million copies of some version of their music, with Motley Crue selling a little less than 100 million, like 98 million.
Yeah.
So who's boring now, you fucktwad?
Yeah.
This makes me mad. I didn't have any bone to pick with you, Nikki, and now I do.
Yeah.
Do you remember when Dr. Phil had there was a lady that was married to you on Dr. Phil?
Yeah, we did a show about that.
Some lady thought she was married to Nikki Sixx, mm-hmm. and you went on Dr. Phil to let her know that you weren't married together. Anybody who shows up on Dr. Phil is not cool.
Right.
Not cool. Rock and roll stars, don't go on Dr. Phil.
Hashtag.
Yeah.
Not cool.
And when Dr. Phil, I think in the clip, he was like, a good friend of mine. Nikki Sixx from Motley Crue. We like to get together and blow cocaine out strippers' assholes.
Who does a show about that anyways, Dr. Phil?
Like, Dr. Phil, please. Dr. Listen.
Don't get us on that.
Don't get us on that. We shouldn't talk about Dr. Phil. He's on our network, so just leave it alone. Okay. But Dr. Phil is hardly the bellwether of cool.
Exactly right.
I'm sure that there are many 50-year-old soccer moms who are into him. And fine, cool. Whatever you're into. Maury Povich is still on, too. Mm-hmm. But Nikki Sixx. Dr. Phil had him in his cell phone. He had Nikki Sixx in his cell phone. Tell me it was fucking boring now. You have Dr. Phil on speed dial, dude. I guarantee you Eddie Vedder does not have Dr. Phil on speed dial. Not to mention I met Eddie once and he's just the very, very coolest guy that you could, I mean, in my 13-second interaction with him, he was just the very coolest guy that you could ever have met. And I'm, you know, I think I just felt personally butthurt by this. So I thought that I would,
That's what this podcast is here. Air your grievances.
Ah, I'm not a cat. Don't agree.
I don't agree. Why don't you agree? I just don't.
I just don't. I'm not sure why. We'll get to that.
Yeah.
Okay, we got to talk about this because we made a whole video about it and now we got to go back and talk about it again. I know.
Well, more has come out.
I don't even know what to say about this anymore.
More has come out now. Like originally it was that, it was the anti-vax person. And so there was a little question, and you know, like, okay, well, free speech and maybe you should have more people on. But now.
Yeah, let's preface this because if you're not watching, then what we're talking about is Joe Rogan and now Howard Stern is involved in this. I am a Howard Stern listener.
I haven't heard the Howard Stern part.
Okay, so here it is. Ready? Joe, so we put out a video and our sentiment was, is that if you go canceling, Joe Rogan had some doctors on that gave what many mainstream scientists or the majority of scientists and doctors believe is COVID misinformation.
Right, false.
And these are two controversial doctors because many people believe that they are giving away false information. We're not here to argue the validity of that. Mm-hmm. What I said was, there is discourse going on. Joe Rogan is an entertainer. You shouldn't get your medical advice from Joe fucking Rogan. You
should get it from us.
You should get it from us because we stayed in last night at a Holiday Inn. And basically, like, don't go to a podcaster for COVID information, right? Mm-hmm. And he had these two controversial doctors on specifically about this first controversy. Mm-hmm. And a bunch of people, Neil Young included, said, we're pulling our music unless you pull Joe Rogan because we don't want to be in associated with these anti-vaxxers. Mm-hmm. I don't see Neil Young pulling his shit from iHeart, who still carries Rush Limbaugh, Glenn Beck, or I don't think carries Glenn Beck, but he carries.
Rush Limbaugh died.
He did, but they still have his old. They still have his old shows up there.
Reruns of Rush.
Reruns of Rush. You must be in a bad place. If you're listening to Reruns of Rush. Hey, what's going on, man? I'm just over here listening to Reruns of Rush. This is a great episode from 1986.
They never play this one. It's a bust out of the archives.
That's right. It's like a Grateful Dead concert. Hey, man, you got a June 4th, 1986. I'll trade you for a Bill Clinton 1994. Oh, my God. So listen, I think
they took a stance.
And they have the right to do so. And I like Neil Young as a musician.
There's a lot of canceling going on right now, though.
A ton of canceling. Yeah. It's like you can't keep up with it. Yeah. And our argument was that the cancellation culture is circular. It's coming back to you, right? Yeah. Be careful that one loud opinion doesn't become the voice for every other opinion. The truth is, let the discourse happen, and then you should make up your mind. Research the facts. Make up your mind based on facts, not on something you heard on a fucking entertainment podcast. But don't cancel Joe. Not because I like Joe any more than I like the next guy, but
I never even listened to Joe. But
I don't listen to him much either, and I haven't listened to these episodes with the doctors on them. But the Spotify CEO comes out and says the same thing that we're saying.
Yeah.
And by the way, Howard Stern, who we're going to talk about here in a minute, defended Joe Rogan also in the sense that he said the same thing I did. Don't cancel Joe.
Yeah.
Right. It's getting out of control. Like anything you ever say, that someone doesn't like, then you have to issue an apology and go away. Mm-hmm. So Chrissy and I put a video together. We said the same thing, basically. We're following the sentiment of a lot of people, liberals and Republicans included, vaxxers and anti-vaxxers included. Don't cancel Joe. Now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, now there's been some new developments.
Now there's been some new developments.
Yeah.
And if we're just talking about the vaccination shit.
Right.
Wow. Well,
That's one thing. But
when someone, India Ari, got a hold of a video, that video, they basically, someone put a compilation together of about, I don't know, 50 times Joe Rogan used the N-word, and he used it, and it, and a number of other things. I'm not going to get into it. It's not here for the show. But
that's not right.
I have known since I was 5 years old.
Yeah, don't say it.
Don't say that fucking word.
No.
Don't ever say that word.
No.
It's not mine to use. It never was pleasant. My mom, when I was growing up in Chicago, I remember like an episode of Oprah where they were talking about race.
Okay,
And in this episode of race, my mom was crying. And because Oprah was always, you know, my mom was always watching Oprah. And my mom was crying. And I remember a conversation. I don't remember exactly what was said. Obviously, I was 5 or 6 years old. But she said, you never judge anybody by the color of their skin, who they choose to love or who they choose to worship. Ever.
Don't ever do it. Yeah.
And that was beaten into my head ever since I was a
small boy. Me too. And I grew up in the South. So
yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I was never, that was never an okay word
never.
To use.
And I don't think I've ever used it casually or, I mean, listen, anyway, I would never choose to use that word under any circumstances.
Correct.
Joe, on older episodes up until 2017, he really had they kind of strung them together. Now, Joe says it was out of context. There's a whole video you can go watch about Joe apologizing. And it's not to say that Joe's idea of whether or not the N-word is okay to say may not have evolved.
Yeah.
It's just a tough thing to hear. It's really tough to hear.
No.
So then Howard then.
Well, that's not the only thing. I saw another thing with Joe.
What do you say?
He had some comedian on that I guess used to. What's the.
Joey Diaz.
Yes. Talking about how he used to make a girl
give him head.
Yep.
First stage time.
Yeah. And Joe thinks that's the most hilarious thing ever.
Wow. Yeah. That's not good, Joe.
So that's
well,
not good
Joey
either.
Diaz. Oh, whatever. I'm not even going to get into it. I don't want to start an argument with Joey Diaz. Don't know him. Don't care.
Okay.
Howard Stern gets roped into all of this because now Republicans are saying, well, if it's okay to cancel Joe, then we should cancel Howard because Howard. Howard never they haven't it's not about the N-word.
Yeah.
He did an incredibly insensitive and racist bit on his New York show. He used to have like a New York local television show where he was dressed in blackface and had like fried chicken in front of him and Aunt Jemima like, you know, syrup. Holy. It was so fucking disturbing, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I had never seen the clip. I watched it and I was like, holy shit. And then Sherman somebody or other, the guy who was on that show, what is it? Moving on up to the Jeffersons.
Oh, yeah, the Jeffersons.
So Sherman, what was his name? You remember him? Like Sherman something or other? The guy who played Mr. Jefferson?
Yeah.
He was in the bit with him, all dressed as Whoopi Goldberg. So Howard's dressed in blackface as somebody. He's pretending to be Whoopi Goldberg. And then Robin is a part of it too, who's obviously a black lady, right?
Yeah.
This whole thing is just a fucking train wreck from beginning to end. And now it's come out. So now everybody is calling for cancellation of both of these
cancel
things.
Cancel everyone.
Cancel them all.
Except for, I mean, let's not even.
Listen.
You know what I mean? The political stuff.
Yeah, I don't want to get into the political edge of it. But I wanted to update everybody because we did put this video out. And I want you to know that we put that video out before any of this came to light. And because neither of us are big Joe Rogan listeners, I had no idea that he felt it was okay to use that word so liberally. Mm-hmm. I don't think it is. Mm-hmm. He apologized. It's not for me to accept the apology, right? It's not for me to say, oh, great, you apologize. Congratulations.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, listen, people can change, I guess. You know, attitudes and ideas can change.
Yeah.
I've listened to Howard Stern for a long time. Mm-hmm. I've never sensed at all that the guy is racist or sexist. He's a big champion of, gay rights and activism and transgender.
He seems pretty inclusive. He seems pretty inclusive. Of everybody. Yeah.
And
that would be hard to be super racist with Robin sitting right there, too.
You would think that if you didn't care for black people to work to be so loyal to Robin would be a difficult thing to do, or that the listeners would be able to kind of see right through it or hear
right
through
it. Right, that it would
be fake. Oh, that's, you know, why are, or he would be saying disparaging things to her about her. Now, I'm not defending Joe over Howard or Howard over Joe. Don't give a shit. I just wanted the audience to get an update on where we are in this controversy. And now I think Spotify has a real fucking problem on their hands. And and Sirius possibly too. Sirius and Spotify have a real fucking problem on their hands. And this, we have not heard the last of this.
I don't think so. Yeah.
And because we're podcasters, we have no FCC on our back. We're not in the radio space. We put this out. People listen. They don't listen. The publishers.
Who? What's the saying? Heavy is
the hand.
Heavy is the hand, but heavy is the crown.
Heavy is the crown. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine being Joe Rogan? And
I mean, you're number one. You're getting paid bukus. Tons of money.
2.2 billion downloads a year.
All eyes are on you.
All eyes are on you, and you're going to have to answer for your shit. It's like being vetted for a presidential race. It's all coming out, dude. And that's why we're happy with number 12 on the improv comedy charts.
Cheers.
We'll stay right here. Not that I'd be afraid of anything like racist or sexist coming out. I never asked for blowjobs for airtime. However, I'm sure there's something out there that, like my third grade math quiz or something that I don't want out there.
Cancel the JTCB.
I'm surprised we haven't been canceled already. Let's just be honest there. Joe and Howard got some explaining to do here, and I don't know how this is all going to shake out, but I do think that people's minds can change and their attitudes can change. Mm-hmm. I will say that, but it's not for me to accept the apology.
True.
My apologies. I'm not the one the apologies should be directed at. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter. So I think if Joe is trying to apologize to his audience has already bought into his shit, right? And if Howard is going to apologize to his audience, they've already bought into his shit.
Yeah.
It's not them, meaning the audience, who has to give forgiveness. Mm-hmm. It's the people whom they are offending, right?
Right.
And trust me, some of this stuff that was said is extraordinarily difficult to listen to.
God,
extraordinarily. You haven't listened to it?
Uh-uh.
Maybe you'd be better off for it. It's that time in the commercial break for a commercial break. As you may have realized by now, we're publishing 3 brand new episodes every single week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and we'd love to hear your opinion on that. Please connect with us by email at tcbpodcast.com. And while you're there, you can listen to any of the audio, watch all of the video, and get your free TCB collectible sticker. If you'd like to text message us or send us a voicemail, 661-237-8296. That's 661, the word best, the number 2, Y-O-Yo. At the commercial break, if you want to follow us on Instagram and youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, where you can find content you cannot get anywhere else. It's called TCB in the Studio, and it happens every couple of days. And while you're there, check out the clips we release every single day of the week. Chrissy and I are beyond grateful for all of the support, love, and attention you've given to this show over the last couple of years. If you'd like to support the show additionally, we'd love it if you would rate and review us on your favorite podcast player. Our sponsors allow us to keep this content coming free and frequently to you. So please do us a favor and use the specialized URLs and codes they give you for free shit and discounts anytime you're in the market for their products and services. And finally, if you have any show ideas, content you'd like us to review, or interesting stories you'd like to share with us on air, please do so by connecting with us at the places I just mentioned. Now, a word from our sponsors.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros. Two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude, stop with the voice. Just keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
Radio. Like, you and I came from radio, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And so we're in this radio business. And it really seems like when we were there, that there were a few people that were elevated to such status that they could say anything that they cared to say, mm-hmm. and they would get away with it no matter what.
On air.
Yeah, on air.
Yes.
And no Correct. One ever had to answer for that stuff. No one ever had to answer for the incredibly insensitive things that they were saying. Like, it was just a stream of consciousness bullshit coming out of a few really powerful radio.
And it was shock. It was meant to be shocking in on some formats.
You have to be entertaining, and mm-hmm. you have to get the listeners to pay attention. And how do you do that? You kick him in the nuts every mm-hmm. once in a blue moon, right? The problem is that then some of those listeners take that to heart and they believe what they're listening to, right? Yeah. They believe that the people, it's kind of like some of these news TV personalities, not the actual news people, but the TV personalities mm-hmm. who are on the news stations.
Yeah.
People believe that they believe everything that they're saying, when the truth is they don't believe everything that they're saying. They're just looking for ratings. Mm-hmm. They see what is popular.
Which way the wind's blowing. Yeah.
If you're making money, it doesn't matter what you say. There's going to be apologists for you everywhere. Mm-hmm. And that is why radio, and then everybody else in radio, you can be expendable if you're not making money or you don't have the ratings you think that. Think about how many people we worked with mm-hmm. at that station, at the cluster of stations that came in and out of those doors.
Tons.
Personalities, radio personalities.
Tons. Oh, yeah.
They were
always
thrown
changing.
Away like trash. They would hand out $1 million checks like it was going out of style. Mm-hmm. Remember when there was one guy?
Yeah, I know.
I won't get into it. I won't get into the names. But there was one guy at our cluster, and it was as if fucking Queen Mary had showed up at our front door. He was like the red carpet.
Oh,
it was like the
crazy. And I remember thinking when I heard that we had him, I was like,
who the fuck is that? But, you know, he had like one viral video or song or something like that.
He was
like
on
that.
Like The Biggest Loser or something too. He was in one of those like weight loss shows.
Yeah, he was in one of those weight loss shows. Yeah.
He was a TV star to the radio.
And he was on, and he came to one of our stations that was really trying to make it in
Mine.
The market.
Yeah, yours. That I was trying That's to right. sell advertising for.
So this guy, so for weeks, there's like a
the build up.
Hank Williams Jr. is going to be on the radio station. Taylor Swift's going to be doing a radio show. It's like, you know, everybody was guessing, and, you know, we all thought that this was going to be like the biggest star that had ever come was coming to the Atlanta cluster, and he was going to be broadcast across the world and right from this little radio station we had upstairs in the corner. And when they made the announcement the day of the Christmas party, and this guy showed up to the Christmas party, we're like,
reveal
who the
happened?
Fuck is that? Yeah. And people were like grabbing his balls, thinking he was like, because he had been on The Biggest Loser. Now, for a lot of people, I'm sure that, you know, they've never been that close to celebrity, including this guy.
We'll use celebrity lightly. I mean,
this guy came. And let me tell you something, audience. Let me tell you something, TZB listeners. He lasted exactly 2 days. 2 fucking days. He didn't show up to work for the first 3 days.
He lasted a little longer than that, but it was like, it was 2 months.
Yeah. He was like running around, grabbing tits, grabbing ass, pulling his penis out. This guy was a hot train wreck. He'd show up like still drunk from the night before, doing lines in the bathroom. This guy got $1 million fucking check, $1 million check, which, trust me, was a lot of money just even 10 years ago was a lot of money. He got $1 million or something. I mean, it was speculation, but I think we confirmed it was $1 million, right? He got $1 million check, and this guy was there less than 2 months, and he didn't show up for half the days he was supposed to work. And the other half of the days, everybody was pissed off at him because he didn't know what the fuck he was doing, or he wasn't sober enough to figure it out.
Yeah.
This is, and it was ridiculous. So they kicked him them out. And you know what? They pay them, whatever, another $180,000 to leave. Mm-hmm. Then there you got the two, you know, morning zoo crew at the other radio station who were literally putting small people in refrigerators that were being used for food.
Jeez.
They put them in a refrigerator. You know how dangerous it is to put somebody in a refrigerator?
Yeah.
That's why they can't lock. That's why refrigerators cannot lock, is because
stuck inside.
Yeah, people were throwing them out in the 70s and kids were playing in them and would end up dead. I mean, I don't want to make fun of it, but
yeah,
but these guys were doing it live on air with the refrigerator used by the staff to, you know, keep their smelly leftovers. Yeah. It was fucking incredible. Well, they got kicked out after three months. They were going to be the answer to all our problems. And they got kicked out after 2 months. And they also got, you know, hundreds and hundreds of
thousands. After this is when they really just started streamlining things.
Yeah, I think they decided that dealing with radio, right, dealing with personalities like us on a daily basis was too much trouble. Yeah. Let's put Ryan Seacrest on
everywhere. Yeah. all markets, all times of the day.
Well, you know, I get it. It's a business decision that is sound. But these radio, you know, people like Ryan Seacrest and a couple other people were treated like kings. They were untouchable. And Ryan Seacrest has never said a controversial thing in his life, but there were plenty of others that were saying all, you know, things akin to what Joe Rogan was saying and just never even got talked about. And the corporations never had to take responsibility. No, it never reached the level of outrage. And they just kept on talking, and still do to this day, by the way. This is still going on a lot of these radio stations and streaming stations and podcasts. Joe Rogan is not the worst of the worst. I don't know much about Joe Rogan, but I can guarantee you I have heard some other podcasts that are 10 times as bad as Rogan or what Stern did, and no one is talking about them. But, you know, you got to make your own choice. Yeah, they're not getting paid $100 million. And these fucking yahoos on radio, it's unbelievable how shitty everybody except for the top of the top were treated.
Yeah.
The good news is they got paid on the way out the door. The bad news is they'd end up in Poughkeepsie fucking doing the traffic for some, you know, North Pole station. Radio was the worst business, the worst.
It was.
On television. It was. Yeah. On television, right? The second you walk in the door into these trailers, you have a masseuse and a makeup trailer and bop, 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 bop. Everyone, hair and makeup. Yep. Everyone is treated like a queen or a king. They're treated like talent, right?
Yes.
These people are important to the production. We better keep them fucking happy.
Right.
They got to look good and act good on screen. No one ruffle their feathers. Right. The guy wants a fucking thong to put on. Go to fucking Victoria's Secret and get him one. Right? That's how it is. In radio, it's like you got to pay $5 a day for your own parking. You gotta pay for your own fucking parking.
That's so true.
It was just like, it was.
Yeah.
It was the absolute dregs of the dregs. And I don't know where that started, but it got me thinking.
But I was gonna say, well, you know, the radio world was not known for their looks. Let's say.
No, well, that's why it's radio.
For one. And you could kind of do whatever you wanted when the mic was off, which was a lot. You're playing music half the time.
Yeah.
I mean, why not dip into that blow from last night?
That's it. Yeah. And I mean, the station manager,
the stories
Karen, no, he
I
does
heard
not.
About before we even got there. I mean, the stories from like the 70s and 80s in radio, it was one gigantic party.
And listen, I'm sure it was the same way in television, but you're right. Radio, you're not on, you know, you don't have to, play to anybody. You just have to remember how to speak. And even then, it's likely you're going to get away with something. Why? I mean, I did a radio show from 2 in the morning till 4 in the morning. It was supposed to be 6 minutes of talk. We talked for 67 fucking minutes talking about everything. And no one, not once, not ever, ever called us and asked us what the fuck we were doing. We got away with murder. I mean, honestly. And, you know, and it all kind of crazy shit was going on the radio station, even when we were there in the 2000s.
Even when we were there.
But the crazy 80s and the crazy 90s, apparently, it was like, why wouldn't you do a little cocaine? You don't have to show up, you know. I think the station manager cares. No, he just wants you to hit the logo and the weather on the nines. That's all the fuck they care about. It got me thinking. There's got to be some audio out there of some crazy disc jockeys.
Oh, I bet there is.
Okay, and so I found some. I found some audio of a couple of people quitting live on air. Are you ready for this?
Okay.
The first guy I want to introduce you to is probably this is the most insane radio disc jockey I have ever had an opportunity to read about. And I'm going to let you listen to how he got fired live one time. He just kind of melted down, right?
Okay.
This is Coyote Calhoun. Are you ready for this?
Coyote Calhoun.
Coyote Calhoun. Let me tell you a little bit about him. In 1975, Bantam, who was also known as Coyote Calhoun, was hired by WERC in Birmingham, Alabama as a late night, as a nighttime top 40 screamer. That's what they would call me if they had a podcast screamer. It's like, hey, what are you doing? There's more sticks. Pink Floyd on the way. You'd hit the post. They call it hitting the post. You'd hit the post.
Nice.
Right? When WERC nighttime jock Chris Fox, another person, abruptly quit over a contract dispute. I want $10 a day. In Birmingham, Alabama, yeah. There's a contract dispute? In 1974, the company flipped from AM to FM and christened Coyote J. Calhoun from 1975 to 1975.
Coyote J, get that J in there.
That's right. Coyote J was enormously popular in Birmingham and consistently won the 12-plus audience because, you know, those 13-year-olds. In one of his most controversial acts, Coyote faked his own murder on air, a stunt that led to police, paramedics, and firefighters storming the building, expecting to find a knife-wielding murder. This led to a 5-day suspension, the first of many that would be handed down to the disc jockey, as Calhoun wrestled a live black bear before a packed audience at the Boutwell Auditorium in 1976.
Jeez.
The fight abruptly ended after Coyote hit the bear over the head with a folding chair, annoying its handlers bear. When asked why he did it, Coyote replied, he started it in 1979. Okay, all right, you ready? You want to hear a little bit of Coyote? Now you know you got to hear Coyote.
Oh, yeah,
okay.
Coyote J.
I think this is 1983. Is this 1983?
He lasted that long.
1983. He did. Well, I mean, he was getting all those listeners. 12 plus. I never remember that being a...
No, it was usually 1834.
Yeah, 2250.
25, 54, yeah.
There you go. Here we go.
Let's welcome in Mike Trevis.
Oh, wait, wrong one. Here we go.
Thunder.
Thunder. Yeah, brother. It's WERC. Coyote J.
Of the Deep South.
WCBQ FM, Jasper, Birmingham. WCBQ AM, Tuscaloosa.
Z.
Lasers.
Yeah, I when I first started doing the commercial break, I wanted it to sound kind of like a UHF type situation. Yes. Remember the movie with Weird Al Yankovic? Yes. So I wanted to find some, what they call, some effects that sounded like station branding that sounded like this. And I put it in here and it just sounded so cheesy. I just remember how much I hated this shit.
102 FM. Anything else is just a radio station.
Boom, boom, boom. Here we come. WERC, not just a radio station. We're a shitty radio station.
Oh, that's very nice of you to say so. I thank you very much.
You have to cut, excuse me, because someone else cut this up, and so it kind of flips back and forth, and I don't own any of the rights to this music, so please excuse me.
What is Alan at the movie?
B-102!
It was my show, I'll do whatever the hell I want.
My mind right now, ladies and gentlemen. I don't think we play enough Boston. I don't think we play enough Pink Floyd. We don't play enough Death Row Joe. We don't even play any Mountain. Who? Mountain. Shut up.
Oh, man. You're going to war over Mountain? Come on, man. We don't play any Pink Floyd. We don't play any Jeth. You lost me at Jethro Tull, bro. Of course you play Jethro Tull. Everybody plays Jethro Tull. Jethro Tull.
He does sell like he's on cocaine.
Oh,
he's very fast talking.
Wait until he calls the station manager. That's when it gets good.
Oh, good.
So because I love you a little bit more, so because I love me, and it is my show, I can do what I want. Let me continue and play. Oh, for Boston. It's a long version, a long time. It's been a long time
as good music was heard on this radio station. We're going to remedy that tonight, ladies and gentlemen.
Tonight's the night when all your Jethro Tull dreams come true.
We're going to remedy that.
I'm playing the long version of Boston. Please don't. Please don't.
I feel so good. Oh, I want to take myself into a hotel room. I feel so good about myself.
My crystal meth is cut with Drano.
I want to check myself
into it. I love myself so much, I want to check myself into a hotel room. These guys, they all think they're funny. They're all... I mean, God bless them. They have to figure out, you know, a way to talk in between 20 seconds of songs. It's not easy. So that's why he's putting on a 15-minute intro so he can have conversation with himself.
You know, tonight I decided to do whatever I want. Why? Because it's my show. I am the king of the city. And sometimes you get followed just so darn, excuse me. I'm so sorry. You know, I am a butthead. I won the butthead award last night. Everybody voted and said it was 93-12. They want a coyote to be a butthead.
I don't even understand what this guy is talking about. First of all, second of all, he doesn't have a great radio voice.
Hey, it's me, Coyote.
I'm
something you're
family. I'm the king of the city.
I'm the king of the city. I'm the king of Birmingham.
I'm a butthead.
Population 12,000. I'm a butthead. I was the king of the butthead.
By the way, let me show you a picture of Coyote in his current state.
Oh, that's exactly how I pictured him.
Yeah, that looks like every radio
full
disc jockey still
too.
Okay. Go to youtube.com/thecommercialbreak. Yeah, that's a woman's wig that he's cut into being a man. That is just awful. Yep. Oh, my God. Here we go.
Thank you for your support. And I can guarantee you, my pledge to you is continued butt-headedness through the entire year in 1988. I won't let you down. I'll be the biggest butthead you've ever seen. And believe me, ladies and gentlemen, I can do it. Why? Because I've had a lot of practice being a butthead. I appreciate your support. And your...
Oh, my God. This is just so bad. Radio is just so bad.
I've had continued practice being a butthead. I'm going to say butthead, butthead, butthead three times in a row, butthead.
Little did he know. No, he would actually have a butt head in his old age.
Yes, he has a butt cut.
And look at that nose job. Look at that nose job. Looks like a penis,
doesn't
it? It's very
pointy.
It looks like a penis. It's got two balls. And it does. It looks like a dick. Look, if you just kind of take your hand and put it over there. Yeah. Coyote Calhoun. Wonder where he's at today.
Yeah.
He's probably still on air somewhere. That's what most radio guys look like these days.
Votes of confidence. What we're talking about right now is this station's format, which is bugging me. You know what I'm supposed to play next hour? Oh, Madonna, Open Your Heart. Police, Every Breath You Take. We haven't heard that song enough, have we? Police, Every...
I'm a top 40 screamer. It's me, Butthead, King of Birmingham. King of the 12 plus market. Hey, kids, how about some more Jethro Tull? That's because that's what all the kids are into in 1988. Yeah. Jethro Tull.
Mm-hmm. Breath You Take? How many times do you think we've played that song in the past 4 years? Probably 5,000 times. My point is, how many times have we played Pink Floyd off their brand new CD? Zero. None. Well, you know, I've played two or three cuts off the Pink Floyd CD in the past 3 months. You know how I did it? I sneaked the CD in here and I played it without a authority and without permission. Why? Because I knew you wanted to hear it. The CD has sold 4 million copies. We play nothing off it. That's a good business.
Okay, so
he sneaked.
Yeah, he sneaked. He also sneaked a new word in the English language. Here's where I think, listen, I get it. This is probably pretty popular in the 80s, in the 90s. That radio disc jockeys feel like they have to change the culture of their city by playing what they think is the best music.
Mm-hmm.
No more Madonna. We're playing Jethro Tull. Yeah, no more Police. I'm going to play my music. Mm-hmm. It's like they have some mission to make sure that you hear the music they want you to hear.
Yeah.
It's not like Jethro Tull or Pink Floyd was any less popular than Madonna. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's like... These are all well-known bands. You're not fighting for Guns N' Roses or Mudhoney. You're fighting for Jethro Tull. I mean, come on, guys. But I think you could tell he's coming unwound. He's like,
yeah,
he's so sick.
I've sneaked it.
Yeah, he sneaked it.
He sneaked it in.
Yeah. I sneaked it in.
His decision, isn't it? Oh, I can tell these people are smart. We hire a consultant to tell us, hey, don't play that. It sold 4 million copies. Someone might like it. Keep it off the station. Pink Floyd's my favorite band. We're going to remedy the fact we don't play any Pink Floyd right now, ladies and gentlemen. It's Z102. I hope you're behind me. Stand behind me because we have to change this autocratic way and this completely fascist way this radio station is run.
I can see a huge crowd
of fascist
12 to 18 year olds outside the station. Going, Calhoun J. Calhoun J.
What was his last name? Coyote?
Coyote. Coyote J. Calhoun. That's what his name is. Coyote J. Coyote J. Change the music forever!
We got you.
You're our only hope! You left your wig in the car! He's just so convinced he's the savior of the world.
He is.
He's got I think that's a problem when you start talking into a microphone for a long time by yourself. Kind of like some of the guys and girls that we worked with at Clear Channel. It's like when you have a one-man band going on for a really long time and you don't hear any feedback,
right.
It's like you start believing your own bullshit.
Yeah, you're talking to yourself.
That's right. I sneaked it in. I'm going to tell them the truth. I'm sneaking nuclear secrets into the WERC, Birmingham's best rocker.
I'm sure you agree. You're tired of hearing the same old garbage day in and day out. Let's play some Wisdom Pink Floyd.
What is that? Is that the Muppets band?
This is the problem. Yeah. So there is this station. We came to We love Calhoun J. There's a website called Air Checks with two X's,
okay.
Right? Air Checks. And what they do is they, for years, for decades, they have been saving old air checks, like hours and hours of live broadcasting from stations around the country, sometimes around the world.
Yeah.
If you go back to the 80s, there is this period there where everyone is trying to be Howard Stern or the Morning Zoo crew.
Right.
And what they do is they just play a lot of obnoxious sound effects in the background, like we do. they play a lot of obnoxious sounds in the background, but no one seems to know how to mix the sounds in. So you can't even hear a fucking word this guy is saying because it's so goddamn loud. Z102.
Ladies and gentlemen, I think my medication is finally worn off. What we're going to do tonight, as I was saying, is have a real or request and dedication show. Not one of these hokey ones where I just put people on the air to request dumb songs. Whatever you want to hear, give me a call, 1-800-239-5888, or there are other numbers, 333-112. Whatever you want to hear, I'm going to...
He didn't even say a full phone number. He's like, it was a 333.
No, he did not. And I couldn't hear that.
This is what I even went back and listened to this. We're not going to do one of those hokey call-in shows where you just request all the dumb songs. We're going to have a written-in request line. Written-in request line. What do you call? Call 1-800 locally. What are you talking about, dude? Your medication's walk out? You mean the cocaine?
Right. A written-in request line, too. I mean, this was before email. So who's writing?
You're writing. I remember writing radio stations.
Okay,
because I was actually entranced by a lot of these guys and girls in Chicago and here in Atlanta. The good news for me was that we had stations like 99X,
right,
where there wasn't a lot of this yelling and screaming.
Yes.
This guy in Birmingham is like Coyote is the epitome of a silly disc jockey,
sure,
right? Loud, obnoxious, yelling and screaming, believes
talking
his own
himself.
Bullshit. Yeah, believes that's right.
Play for you. Why? Because I love you very much, and it is my show, and I'm going to try to present a show for you.
It is my show. I'm Coyote J. It is my show. You don't hear enough Pink Floyd or Jethro Tull or Sandra Bernhardt.
Yeah, and by the way, in 1988,
I with a little bit of intelligence for now, I said the same old garbage over and over and over. Oh, my hotline is ringing.
Oh, here we go.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, my hotline is ringing.
Here we go. The hotline is also known as the red phone, and every studio had one, even when we worked and I was on the radio. There was a a red phone, so to speak. It was a phone that had a light on it.
Yeah.
And so they call it the hotline, usually because the light was red and it would blink. It wouldn't ring, obviously, because you're in a studio. But that meant that someone important was calling. Only
you.
A few people had that phone number. Yes. And if it was going off, you better get off air and you better answer.
I bet this will be interesting. Let's answer the hotline in the air. Oh, this will be fun. Don't tell anybody. C-102 FM, hello.
What the hell are you doing?
Now, listen to Coyote cower. I mean, he doesn't back down, but listen to how scared you know he really is. And by the way, this is not a stunt.
Yeah.
This actually happened because I was a little suspicious. And so I looked into it from multiple different angles. And everyone apparently involved in the story says it's true.
Okay.
I'm playing one of my favorite bands, Boston. I'm playing Boston, Steve. A lot of Boston is what I'm doing. Why?
Why? Do I still have a job? Do you want me to collect my last paycheck? Why? Why, dude? Come on.
You know why.
Yeah, you know why. You've been railing against the station for 2 hours.
Saying it's fascist people.
Yeah, an autocratic radio station. You've basically blown up the radio station with Boston and Jethro Tull. You couldn't even pick cool bands.
Is this on the air?
Ladies and gentlemen, Steve Russell, our program director of WZBQ. Yes, Steve, we're on the air.
Get me off the air now.
You can hear Coyote thinking.
Yes,
he's
he is.
You can hear those gears beep, boop, 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 boop.
Should I do the bump real quick?
I didn't think this one through. Yeah. Should I do the weather? Let's get a traffic report. Hey, Steve, hang on. I'm going to get a traffic report. I'll be right back.
Lighten up, Steve. It's just a bit, just a joke.
Get me off the air now.
He does not think it's funny.
No, I'm not gonna.
No.
No.
I'm not gonna do that.
No. Maybe anybody's voice cracks under pressure, you know that they're scared.
Yes.
No. I'm not gonna do that. No.
Don't
hurt me.
Take you off the air, then you'll give me a bad time. Why don't you just tell the people since...
He's coming down there.
He's like, I just lost my job again. Third time this year. Now listen, he gets so nervous. Let's just listen to what happens next.
Okay.
Now you know that he knows what's going on now. He knows how much...
The guy's coming down to the station.
Yeah. It's the middle of the night. The guy's coming down to the station.
Well, I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen. Let's not let that ruin our party. Let's play some more Boston. Z102 FM.
You're going to go to Boston, dude? Come on, man. What is it?
Oh, no. go big on that.
Go
if you're going to go out on something, don't go out on Boston.
Oh, my God. That's like a guy in a rock station being like, well, I'm bound to get fired. Let's play some Pavarotti.
Z102 FM, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. They love me, they're behind me. We can't always play the same thing every night. This station is run by fascist, communist, socialistic programming fatheads. It's an all catch 22. We play a lot of garbage. We're going to try to balance the garbage from now on my show with some good stuff. We're supposed to play a commercial, too. Let's do that.
Well,
he had a fathead. You had a fathead.
We're going to do that from now on. No, you're not. No, Calhoun, you're not.
Okay, enough of that. I don't really feel like playing commercials. I'm on a roll. I'm feeling hot. I'm really worked up. I'm a little woozy. I am seeing double. I think I'm going to faint because
because of all that cocaine and vodka. My wife just called me. She's leaving.
Yeah.
The kids are all packed up and ready to go.
I got
to
get out of here quick.
So I'm going to play another Boston song. You might not hear from me for a while. I'll be in Mexico. When you stop playing the commercials, now you're really fucked.
Yeah.
Because now you're losing money.
That's the money maker.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, what we really should do, ladies and gentlemen, before we continue, is call Steve Russell back, because I really don't want him to be angry at me. He is, after all, the program director, and he did sound a little miffed and a little peeved. Sometimes they take these things so seriously. So I'm breaking the format for 1 hour. Big deal.
He's trying to convince himself. Big deal. So I told you to go
and
fuck yourself.
And he gives the clap. Yeah. Yeah, Steve. You're not
good job, Steve. Yeah, I told you to go fuck yourself and had sex with your oldest daughter. Big deal. I bet this guy was a real joyride to talk to off air. Hey, it's me, Calhoun. Why can't we play more Boston? He's probably 4'7". He's running around. We need more Boston.
Yes.
Oh, that's like an alternative station in the early 2000s going, we need more REM.
The ratings right now, so he's hyper. Let me call him.
I'm
just call Steve and make sure that he's not angry.
I'm also on cocaine.
Let me call Steve and make sure he's not angry.
I should have paced myself with the eight ball. Yeah. That way I'd have a little left. I'm coming down hard, guys.
Hello.
Hello. Who's this?
It's Janice.
Janice, ladies and gentlemen, the lovely wife of Mr. Steve Russell, Janice.
Uh-oh.
Hello, Janice. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
I'm fine, thank you. You're fired. Yeah. Did you know that? Steve's got his gun.
He's on the way down.
He's bringing the owner and the station manager.
You're fired.
Yeah, you're fired. Hey, I'm fine. How are you? You're fired.
You're still having a sexual problem.
No, I don't.
What?
You still having a sexual problem? Dude, you are.
You're
digging the hole deep. You can't really expect to hold your job after this, really?
If he was still having that sexual problem.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, it was nice to know you, Coyote.
Let me speak to Steve, please.
He's not here.
He's on his way. His 9mm and our German Shepherd Betty. He's on his way with the keys and two beefcakes. Yeah. You better lock the studio door.
Where is he?
He's on his way to the station.
He's coming here.
Is he?
Wait, he's coming here. Where did you think he was going? After you told him to go fuck himself and hung up the phone.
Oh, my God.
Now, he's on his way to the library.
Yeah,
pick up the newest James Crichton novel.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll talk to him when he gets here then, okay?
Okay.
Okay, nice talking to you with you.
Bye.
Bye, Janice.
Bye, Janice. I'll call you from jail. Yeah. He can't think of anything to say.
No.
He knows. Z-102.
Let me play that. Let me play the station ID.
Let me play the bumper.
Yeah.
He's so scared. You can hear it.
Okay. Oh, we want to play. Let's play some Mountain. He should enjoy this driving. I think Steve will enjoy some Mountain. You know, we don't play this either. Here's some Mountain, Steve.
Coyote J. Calhoun! That was another favorite thing at the radio stations in the 80s was to take popular songs and put the station liners on top of them.
That's true. Yeah.
Coyote J. Calhoun! Coming live to you! So stupid.
That's true. That is true. Yep. I remember that.
But don't worry, radio's not dead, guys. I can hear the projections meeting right now, Nick, tomorrow morning. Right. Radio stations all across the country. They say radio's dead, but we're only down 33% week over week. Right. We still get 99.9% of people all around the world to listen to us at least once a week. That's because your fucking car turns it on every time you turn it on.
Or you're in the dentist's office.
Yeah, you're, that's right. Yeah. The Calhoun is in trouble here, and he knows it.
Coyote.
Coyote J.
102 FM, Felix Papillardi, Leslie Weston Mountain. We don't play any mountain. Can you believe that? As big as that band was.
Here's the thing. Coyote, you should have gone and worked for a top 40 station if you didn't want to play top 40, right. You dumb. Yeah.
Yeah, or you should have gone into station programming.
Yeah, station programming. Yeah. That's right.
Then you could have programmed what you wanted to hear.
But you're bad at that, and that's why you're on air.
A lot of followers, and Felix Papillardi, a fine, upstanding gentleman that I knew personally. And I believe he was shot to death at a topless nightclub.
Shows you how, what? Shows you how much you guys knew each other.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he was. If one of my friends was shot to death at a topless nightclub, I would know it for a fact.
Yeah.
I'd know the date and time.
I know, for sure.
I'd be sure of it.
We lost.
I'm pretty.
We lost Bill. We lost Bill at 2:39.
Yeah, that 2:39 on a Tuesday.
Yeah, at a topless club.
I'm pretty sure he was beheaded by an elephant kick in downtown Chicago. I think. I can't remember.
Is he that or a topless club?
How did he die? Was that an elephant kick or a donkey kick? Can't remember. I mean, listen, I haven't gotten to that age where a lot of my friends are dying, but I'm pretty sure if someone was shot dead in a topless nightclub, what was he doing? Running out on lap dances? No, I'm not going to pay.
But we should play some mountain because that.
And then he claps. Great news. Great news. The guy from Mountains did. Shot from the torso up. It is not even a good clap. It's like two people clapping.
Mississippi Queen was a number one record in 1970. Do we play it?
It's 1988. Yeah, 1988, Calhoun. 1988. It's 20 years later. Pearl Jam's Alive is not playing on our top 40 station. It's now on the Golden Oldies station.
No, we don't. You know all the records we don't play? You know by Led Zeppelin? You know what we play by Led Zeppelin? Stairway to Heaven. That's it. That is all we play by Led.
That's it. It sounds like he's got a 747 in his voice sometimes, and then it sounds like he's revving a little scooter. Like he's got like a lawnmower engine on other times.
Zeppelin. You know what we play by REM? One song, the one I love. They have 7 albums out. We play one song. And you know why this happens? It's really not Steve Russell's fault. I know he's driving to the station, probably listening to me. I hope you are.
It's not your fault, Steve.
Like barreling down the road in an
F-150.
Yes. With a gun beside him.
His robe and his slippers.
Blowout. Yeah. Pow.
He's got leopard skin boxer briefs on.
Yes.
You remember Eddie in A Christmas Vacation when he's letting out the shitter? Sure, yeah. That's how I imagine Steve is.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
Steve
Steve's
is
on the
hot.
Way, and he is listening.
Yes, that's right. And Calhoun's trying to talk him off the ledge.
Yeah,
it's
Steve,
really not your fault.
It's not your fault.
It's not your fault you're impotent. I told your wife. It's not your fault.
Sorry, listening to what I'm saying right now, they're listening closely, Steve. I don't hold you responsible for this. I know you're just a victim of this machinery, which we call radio. We're all victimized by this monster. We have a...
Like, what are you?
He's ruminating.
Yeah.
On the radio
this
life.
This is a fucking internment camp. It's radio. Dude, come on. Get it together.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a consultant in Virginia that we pay big money. I mean more money than anybody here at the station makes to send us music lists on what we should play. He tells us what to play and dictates to you what you're going to hear, and he's in Virginia. Here's the music sheet right here. Look what we got. We got Madonna, Prince, Huey Lewis, Styx. Oh. Oh, boy. How adventurous.
Dude, you chose to work here, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you have a problem, take it off air. You can't have a conversation with Steve off air. You got to do this on air.
He hates the consultant.
I know.
Everybody hates the consultant.
Everybody hates the consultant because it's true. The consultant does get paid more than anybody on air.
Yes.
And he does hand him a sheet of paper and tells him what to play based on research and science.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or based on how much money the record company gave him. One
right.
Of the two. Yeah.
How adventurous. But Steve is on his way to the station. What I'm going to do is I'm going to leave the microphone on because when Steve gets here, I want him to state his position. I want him man to man to sit down in the chair and
mono
tell everybody why we listen.
Mono,
leaving the microphone.
Coyote E-Man. I want to see Calhoun versus Mono. I want to see what he has to say for himself. Though I totally understand it's not his fault. Let's have a heart to heart conversation, Steve, about what we can do to play more Boston. I know it's 1988, but do you know how many records Elvis Presley sold in 1956? Millions. We should have Love Me Tender on a loop.
To this Jeffries boob, and why we follow these music sheets and have no leeway what to do. I'll tell you something. I got to follow this music sheet, but if the ratings come back, and my ratings, my book is bad, you know who's going to get fired? No, not Mr. Jeffries. Not Mr. Russell. Mr. Calhoun will be fired.
Do you know why? It's because if you're playing all of the same music throughout the day, then it stands to reason that the ratings should be, have some baseline. If you're playing all top 40, it's not like people are going to go away because they're listening to the music they like.
Yeah.
It's because they're listening to the DJ they dislike. That's why the disc jockey. But, I mean, it is true. Like, disc jockeys do get, you know, they do take they bear the brunt of bad ratings when it's 9 times out of 10. It's probably not their fault. But in this case, I can safely say you're an asshole.
Yeah, it's Coyote's fault.
Look at his hair. Look at him. Poor guy.
So I should have some input into my show, and you should have some input. You want to hear something, I should be able to play it. So when Steve gets here, we'll leave the mic on, and when he gets here, we'll ask him, why are we putting up with this? We know what to do. We've been a radio 10, 15 years. We don't need management to tell us what to do, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, you don't? Because this is how you act when management's not around?
Yeah.
Clearly you know how to handle yourself.
Yeah. He could run that solo.
All by himself, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Uh-oh. Oh.
Shut the mic off. Ladies and gentlemen, the program director of WZBQ and my friend, Steve Russell. Hello.
And my friend.
I'm just telling everybody he's my friend.
My dear friend, soon to be godfather of my children. The guy I listed in my will. You get my car.
Well, shut the mic off. Back off. You're making it worse. Shut the mic off. The mic stays on. Cut the mic off or you're gone. I cannot believe that this is a big damn deal.
He's so scared. I cannot believe this is a big damn deal. I called your wife. I told everybody you're impotent. What's the big fucking deal?
Called you a fathead fascist?
I called you a fathead fascist, but then I said, I know it's not your fault. Let's have a Mono E Fox Coyote, whatever the fuck your name is.
Cut the mic off now. Mic stays on. I'm sorry. Cut the mic off. If you come close to the mic, I back off, Russell. Let go of me, you.
Cut the mic off.
Let go of me.
Cut the mic off.
Mic stays on. Mic is on.
Get it off now.
Your mic is on. I'll kill you. Shadow. Oh, God.
Shadow, are you all right? Shadow, cut the mic off.
Playing the Supreme?
Now.
No, the mic stays on.
Cut the mic off now.
You get away from me. Don't touch me.
Oh,
and that's
you're
it.
Gone. No. Cut the mic off.
No, you son of a.
And Coyote leaves forever. And scene. That's so good. I love that.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen, radio is usually not that exciting, folks. Just to let you know.
Yeah.
Most disc jockeys stay in line. A computer programs everything. They talk in and out. And I'm not knocking radio DJs.
No.
I wanted to be one.
Special cases.
Yeah, I wanted to be one. I wasn't.
Yeah.
I didn't make the grade. They put me on at 2 a.m. on a station that reached 1,200 people. That was it. Poor Coyote. So the police showed up.
Uh-huh.
They made sure everything was okay. They separated the two. Coyote took his walking papers and he went home. I can't understand. I can't believe it's a big damn deal.
I can't believe you're down here, Steve.
I was just talking to your wife about your boner problems. YouTube.com/thecommercialbreak. If you want to see Coyote Calhoun, go there, please. Like and subscribe if you get an opportunity. Want to thank everyone for all of their support of the show. If you have a minute, you can do us a huge favor by rating us or reviewing us on your favorite podcast platform. If you do so, send us a screenshot to www.peace. I'm going to do that over again. If you send a screenshot of you rating or reviewing on your favorite podcast platform to tcbpodcast.com, click the button that says, I want my free sticker. Shoot us that screenshot and we'll send you your free TCB collectible sticker. It's tcbpodcast.com. 661 best to yo. That's 661-237-8296. You can text us or leave us a message there. You have content ideas. You think you found something funny that you'd like us to discuss. You have an interesting story about your friends, your family. Let us know. And who knows? Maybe you'll be on a future episode of the commercial break. Okay. Listen, we are way over. We're an hour and 10 minutes into this episode, but it was a good one. I have like four or five more of these. We'll have to do a second episode on this. Best to you. Excuse me. I love you, Chrissy.
I love you, Brian.
And I love you out there in the podcast audience. Best to you, Chrissy.
Best to you, Brian.
And best to you out there in our podcast universe. Until next time, we always say, we do say, and we must say,
bye.